Welcome to Aigayutut. On today's show, we're going to talk about education and decolonizing. So Esther, I thought it would be really nice for us this show to talk about education.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what you said at commencement, some really great things about education and your experiences with education and some of the new ways we have now where we involve elders in the classroom, yeah. Especially with the Rural Human Service Program. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about was the idea you had where when it comes to Western knowledge, some people call it Eurocentric knowledge, European or Western. And in the old days, how that Western knowledge was pushed on you. But nowadays, it's Yupik people who decide what in that Western knowledge base is useful and what may not be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more about that?
There's more of the comfort there.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we look up to elders for more information or something like that.
Yeah. And one thing you talked about was what it was like for you when you first went to college.
Oh, my.
Can you talk about that and describe that? And then we'll talk about this other model of education, Rural Human Services, and the difference. But mm-hmm. first, let's go to what was it like when you first went to college?
My goodness. I did not even know not one single English. I knew some names, mm-hmm. but my uncle taught me, like fork, spoon. You know, not making any sentences. This is fork.
Uh-huh.
This is table. This chair. At home. Those were the only ones I know.
Uh-huh. And remember how you described it?
It was, you know how it is when people talk about little magical people?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's sort of like that.
What was?
Getting into a different world.
Uh-huh.
Different world. Stepping into different world.
Yeah.
And when you do, before you step in, actually, right by the door, you have to get rid of lots of stuff. Your culture, your language, and your food, and things like that.
In order to go into that mm-hmm. Western classroom?
You just have to take your Yupikness and your culture off. Leave it behind and walk in.
What did that feel like to come into a classroom?
Scary, very, very scary. Because
uh-huh.
how does the teachers expect us to know what they're going to teach us, what they're going to give us, when we have only Yupikness?
Right. But then you had to leave that.
I had to leave.
So what do you have left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like digging in my pocket and here's my culture, I leave it here. Things like that.
Was that kind of lonely?
It's scary and lonely. And your mind is blank, shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But all those things, I didn't know how to react to them.
Right. And I remember you saying that when it came to your classmates, you didn't really get to know anybody, right?
We didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Most of everything was like, sit there with long face, wide, eyes wide open, looking around.
Mm-hmm.
None of us participated in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher just come in with a sack full and just spill it on us. No, we didn't work together.
Mm.
We didn't discuss to solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
We did it by ourselves.
Wow.
That was back then.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so that's a really great picture that you're drawing of mm-hmm. what it was like back then. So what was it like then to be invited to be an elder instructor in a college classroom, which was at the time, which is Rural Human Service, which mm-hmm. is run differently?
When I was called in to be elder, I was really curious.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, my mind went back to that scary time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was there, it was very, very comforting to hear my culture there partnering with the Western,
mm-hmm.
helping each other,
mm-hmm.
helping, sharing, and giving.
Nobody can see this, of course, but your body language is so different talking about that than it was talking about those old days.
Yeah.
It's like night and day. Your body language, it's good. So in order for people to do well in Rural Human Service, they can't leave their culture at the door.
Mm-mm, no.
They got to bring it in,
yeah.
or it won't go as well.
It's just like when I think about it, if you don't know your language, then language and your culture, they have to be together. They cannot be apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you see yourself in RHS as part of the instructional team, can you describe a little bit your role? Like what you think your role is in the class? Mm-hmm. What effect do you think it has? Having elders there?
What it does to me is, like, for example, if the instructor is teaching psychology,
mm-hmm.
that's a big, big word.
You said it very easily.
And it sometimes brings me back to when I went to college, where there I couldn't ask what that means or how do I do this. But there I watched the students. They have no fear in them towards the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to ask. If they don't understand anything, they could ask, and sometimes as the teacher roll along teaching, a lot of my upbringing, similar things come up, and that's when I have to say something.
Oh, good.
About, uh-huh. about my culture.
Right, and your own experiences, mm-hmm. which are our greatest teachers, right?
Yeah.
Our experiences in life. So in thinking about education, you said something a little bit earlier about now some of this Western knowledge, not in the old days, but in our Rural Human Service example, that Western knowledge and the UPIC knowledge, now they can partner together.
Mm-hmm.
And can you describe that a little bit more about what you think mm-hmm. about that? And who decides that? Who decides what's useful to take in and what can be left?
The students.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Teachers not forcing them. Mm-hmm. But she just lay them out for them to work on with their culture. Cultures. Aiding.
Yeah.
Know, helping.
Right, right. So when you see, you described it a little bit just now, but what else do you see happening to students when they're in a classroom where their culture and spirituality and knowledge and life experiences mm-hmm. are part of the learning compared to when you were in college, you didn't get all of that? What do you see happening to students when they're in this new kind of classroom?
It's wonderful because students can think for themselves, not the Western thinking for them.
Okay, yes, yes. That's a great way to put it. Now, there's a fancy word for when one culture makes decisions about another culture and even tells the other culture how they're supposed to think,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
that's colonization.
Oh.
And that's part of how education has been. It's
yeah.
been like colonizing.
Yeah.
And so the Rural Human Service Program, that's where we're trying to do education that's decolonizing.
Yeah.
Taking out the colonizing mm-hmm, part mm-hmm. so that the student and their culture is the foundation for learning. And that can't really happen in a Yupik setting without elders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's hard to teach if there are no elders there. So yeah.
See, it'll be different if you're only teaching Western style.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just dump our culture off of it. Carve it off.
Uh-huh.
Where would the students go? I mean,
they might, well, you know, that's where students struggle, because in the university, indigenous students have a high rate of falling out of programs.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, well, maybe it's because they have to leave too much at the door.
Yeah.
To come into a classroom.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, they just don't say one day, I'm not going to school. I'm going to drop out.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
With this new model.
Oh, with the Rural Human Service,
yeah.
The way we do the teaching.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes some students would say, I don't think I can go on. It's under the table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can go on. And the next time that person shows up, and then I kind of ask, you came back.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Many people do that.
And all that person would say, when I went home, I thought about it really hard, and my thoughts told me I need to come back. I need to be here.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So one of the key things that we do in the Rural Human Service Program is really work to have a community of learning,
mm-hmm.
like a family in a way.
Yes. Yes.
Do you see that happening?
And yes.
How would you describe that? If you were sharing that with somebody else, how would you describe for them the way we form community in RHS?
In the beginning, it's scary, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. But then as it keeps moving forward,
mm-hmm.
then you're discovering at the same time, oh, it's this way. I can do this. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
motivate them.
Yeah. So, because with RHS, we come together once a month mm-hmm. for 1 week.
Yeah.
So we're together a lot every month. And it seems like forming a community is also a cultural strength.
Yeah.
And that is part of what we build so that people can feel able to learn everything they want to learn.
They need to feel at home.
Yes.
Not with something strange.
Right.
They need to be in the midst of their learning. They need to be in it because they're studying something that they know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That our elders have.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. And so that's part of the role that you have in there as an elder person, mm-hmm. elder, is to help that feeling of home.
Yeah.
Which, in a way, I think of it too, like that feeling of a cultural home.
Yeah.
That people are comfortable being Indigenous mm-hmm. in that classroom. And that seems really important. So is there, in thinking about this, that kind of education, the other part of it seems like I notice that elders are also learning while they're yes. in there. Can you talk about the way learning happens all the time?
Yeah. When we give away something that we know, and then by any kind of response, then they give it back to us in a meaningful way or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways to connect with each other,
mm-hmm.
working together. And each student would say, "Oh, I'm not alone. Yay."
That's true. That is a really, I like the way you describe how if you share something in class as an elder,
mm-hmm.
and the student reacts to it or responds to it, that teaches you something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a yes. constant movement back and forth, yes. back yes. and forth. And I think that's interesting because some people might think, well, elders know everything and that's the end of it.
We don't. Elders don't know, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know everything.
And so that's what I notice about elders in RHS. They seem just as interested in learning yeah. what we're all learning together
mm-hmm.
as they are in, you know, being able to share their own stories.
It's just like me in there going to college.
You're in college with again.
With the students.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes I bring my knitting
uh-huh.
just so I could sit and listen while I knit. Sometimes I even forget I have a knitting to do while I'm listening.
It gets really interesting sometimes, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's a really powerful description of how learning is a lifelong
mm-hmm.
adventure in a way. But learning is also an exchange
yes.
between
yes.
you and the person. You could probably say that even if you're out on the tundra, you're having that exchange with the tundra even.
Uh-huh.
You
yes.
know, you're learning from the tundra and then you're giving back in however you are out there doing subsistence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of
yeah,
interconnected.
We're connected.
Yeah.
Connected.
Exactly. And another thing that you said at commencement that I really remember and think about is how our knowledge and what we learn doesn't belong to us.
Right.
Yeah. Can mm-hmm. you say a little more about that?
Yes. Yeah, what we learn, if it did something good to me, I want other people to know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to share. You don't have to keep anything to yourself. Where will it go if you keep it to yourself? Nobody will hear it. Dangerous part of it. And in my culture, that kind of person is called a very, very stingy person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anyone to know good thing what you know. That's being stingy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I want to keep it myself. I don't want anyone to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way.
Mm. So it's putting that knowledge back to people
yes.
and sharing it
yeah.
with your people, your community, like that.
Anyone who's interested, anyone who's asking you, anyone who wants to hear and listen.
You know, the other thing I notice that's different for education program, for programs, is when the education is holistic, and in the case of rural human service, where the education is also a healing force,
yes,
in a way. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that, about the holistic part of being in this kind of college classroom where healing and learning are partnered up together?
Yeah. I can put it this way. You know, when you start something you don't know, I have to have some kind of foundation in me to keep going forward. My foundation will be this. I won't freak out. In order to be giving, you have to take care of yourself first.
Right. Yeah. So we need to get ourselves balanced to be a better helper to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in Rural Humans in the program. Like, what would you do an outside professor, let's say up in Fairbanks, who said to you, oh, you know, Esther, you know how people cry sometimes in rural human service classroom? Not really good for college.
Oh,
they shouldn't be doing
God.
That. What would you say to someone? Now, someone really did, a professor really did say that to me. So how would you respond to that?
You got to clean yourself with tears, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I won't be, it's up to you to really get to it with honesty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Yes.
With honesty.
Yep.
Otherwise, if you just pretend there, you won't be able to talk about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, I thought I did. But then things keep surfacing up that I was hiding. And those ones did not make me an honest person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I couldn't talk about certain subjects.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that happened to me, and I don't want anyone to know it happened to me.
Oh, okay, so you don't even want to talk about it to someone else.
Scared, yeah. Yeah.
So in the rural human service, in that college classroom, how do we handle things like that?
You have to have already learned how to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
When someone tells about something that's very uncomfortable or something, and it's hurtful for that person who is carrying it, in order to get it out, sometimes our tears help us to put it out. Kind of like cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning inside. It's your own responsibility, not nobody else's.
Right, right.
When someone
mm-hmm.
does that, all we do is we keep quiet and listen to it. Let that person empty out.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't judge. We don't stop them until they stop themselves.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that when people experience that in the classroom, other students get to learn something?
Yeah, it did to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first went in to be a elder.
Mm-hmm.
I was grieving at that time
mm-hmm.
for my mom. And I had nothing up there because the death of my mother was only up here.
Mm.
And being there just examining what's going on, right there, I didn't say anything. The students helped me. So I really, when I went home, I said, gee whiz, that was a good lesson for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the really great thing about the way learning is not just from the teacher to the student,
uh-huh.
like you were describing your first college experience, but in this education setting, the learning is from everyone to everyone,
mm-hmm.
and it goes back and forth, back and forth. And going back to that idea of the Western, some Western knowledge partnering in a more balanced way mm-hmm. with UPIC and not being like over UPIC knowledge, but partnering with it.
Mm-hmm.
If a student shares a personal story in the college classroom, the Western part of the understanding of that is it's important for people to tell their stories. It's important for people to be heard. It's important for people to learn how to tell their story and then realize they're really okay.
Yeah.
And the UPIC part of that partnership in the classroom is we accept those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We respect them. We listen carefully. And we are patient.
Yeah.
And so in the way that that's a way, in just that example, we could come up with lots of examples of how Western ideas partner with UPIC ideas and UPIC values.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we have a powerful learning tool now
mm-hmm.
that we get to tap into. But we can't do that if people leave their culture at the door, right?
Mm.
They got to
no.
bring it in so that we no. can really do the partnership
yes.
right.
Yes.
And that, and then going back to the elders are like a key role. Like
mm-hmm.
if we tried to do an education model like that, but there were no elders in the classroom, it would be like a hole. There'd be a gap like that. It
yeah.
wouldn't feel quite, quite the same. Thank you for listening to Igayutut, hosted by Diane McGachran and Esther Green, produced by KYUK.